You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. This is Two Migs United for Podcasting with me, Michael Dean, and Q Storm. How are you, Q?
I just got back and I'm happy to be back in the saddle.
Where'd you get back from?
Well, the wife and I, we hadn't had a trip together or vacation together since 2007 without kids. So we started off in Paris.
Whoa.
And I speak a little French, and we ended up in London.
Man, how was the trip, man? That's amazing.
Oh, it was dope. I mean, I had my Canon 5D. I had three cameras with me, four cameras. So you're going to be seeing some shit on Facebook. I'm going to put up my documentary feature.
All right. Call you international lover.
No, don't call me that. I'm married.
All over the world with it. Paris. I was in Paris, Mike. I was in London. You know. No, it's all good, man. It's blessed.
I'm just trying to get some Big Sexy cred, you know. See, we didn't go first class like Big Sexy does.
Right. Shout out to Big Sexy. All right, so today, Two Nigs United for Podcast. We got a lot of stuff to get into, man. First thing, let's start with let's talk about Jill Scott. Why not? Jill Scott, as you may have known or heard, there has been this whole news story about these celebrity nude photos that were leaking online. Apparently, yes. People had their iCloud accounts hacked somehow, or the phones hacked. You know, the big names you heard about was Jennifer Lawrence. You know, she was the one from the Hunger Games and X-Men movies,
American Hustle.
Some of the other chicks escaped me because I'm not totally
Kate Upton.
Okay.
Model of the minute.
All right. There you go. So a lot of those, you know, a lot of those, what I call no derriere. Oh, you know, they ain't really too many kind of news I'm curious to see, but. And so that was the big news, and to the point where the FBI now is investigating this, and, you know, everyone's talking about it. You know, here's what I say, and I say this tongue sort of in cheek, but in truth. You know what? If you're going to take the nude photos, you might want to not have them on your camera. Or if you're a celebrity like that and you're, you know, very in demand, you may want to have an extra level of security on your phone, right? So you may not want to have the password as like PA and then $SS word. You might want to go to like a password generator and have it create something crazy, because they're trying to get you, right? And if you're gonna take those pictures, then, you know, lock them down, man. I just don't understand why you would have something like that on your phone, which you could leave your phone anywhere. Like, somebody could steal your phone and you'd be all exposed like these guys are.
Well,
okay.
It had, now the celebrities we just mentioned, as far as I know, it had nothing to do with being on their phone. They took the photos with their phone, and here's what baffles me. They then uploaded them to Apple's iCloud, and Apple's iCloud was hacked.
Well, see, Apple's saying they weren't hacked. Apple's saying hack iCloud. This was on the person. So I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know what, you know, if iCloud was hacked, then obviously there'd be it's a bigger story, right?
That's what they reported, and Apple's stock has dropped. So whether it was hacked or not, they're feeling the pain.
Well, no doubt. But I'm just saying, even if Apple has responded and said, hey, no, iCloud wasn't hacked. You know, those people's accounts may have got hacked, but not the system itself, which I can kind of believe. Like,
here's my question. Can someone explain to me, why are celebrities and politicians taking nude photos of themselves and reverends and priests?
Well, I don't know about the reverends and priests, but I mean, you know, these celebrities, a lot of these ones are females, and they're in a business that is highly dependent on your image and sexuality and stuff. So it makes sense for me that they'd be, I mean, if you think that the viewers and the fans of them are obsessed with this, of course they are. You know, this is their life. Like, they want to know how they look, and they're probably sending these pictures to themselves or their boyfriends or whatever. That, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, they're the ones who are the industry. Like, they would, their whole livelihood is based on that.
But I don't, okay. I don't understand. I hear what you're saying. I don't know if I agree with it, because I don't understand how taking a picture of, if I'm Jennifer Lawrence, taking a picture of myself, or Kate Upton, because I'm not going to lie, I did look at those. Why, if I'm Kate Upton and I'm a supermodel, I know I'm fine, would I need to take a picture of, since I've been in London, I'll use the British term, take a picture of my finger touching my cunny. What is that doing? What's that got to do in any way, shape, or form with,
well, again,
this persona I have in the public?
She's a sexy model. That's her life, is to take pictures of her body. So I don't see
not naked pictures.
Well, to her it is, obviously. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what they do. They are in pictures. So it would not be out of my stretch of my imagination that they would be in nude pictures. Though it may just be for themselves or their loved ones, normal people do that. So I would imagine the people whose livelihood is based off of pictures, of course they got.
Well, if I did say celebrities, I should have said, why do people do that? That's the question.
No, I'm just saying, I don't know if you've never.
You got some history, bro?
Has your woman or your lady friends have never sent you pictures? Like, I don't know. That's not that out of the norm of in the world of a smartphone like that.
I feel like if I
might be a different generation or something. I don't know.
I feel like if I'm stroking it right, I'm going to see it enough that I don't need to get a picture.
Hey, I'm not going to debate your stroke game or your expectations based off of that. But I'm just saying, you know, there's obviously a lot of people that are doing sex pics. You know, there's a big thing with, apparently I hear there's a big thing with guys that do dick pics. You know, and I question, but you know, it is what it is. Like, so it's just not weird. I don't think sex pics are weird to me. That's a normal thing. These people are no different than anybody else.
What's normal about that?
I think maybe, I don't know if it's a generation thing. Sex pics have been around for a long time now. It's not nothing out of the norm, is it?
By pornographers, yeah, but they're getting paid for it.
Now, regular people do it probably more than the pornographers. I mean, I don't know. You've seen all these. I mean, look at the sex videos as an extension off of sex pics.
You know? Right. And what I'm saying is, just because there's a lot of them and it's been around a long time doesn't mean it's normal.
Oh, I think it is now. It's probably more normal than it wouldn't be at this point, because it's just, I mean, to be honest, most of this technology, the smartphone stuff, is used for those purposes. For regular people,
that doesn't make it normal or right.
Anybody's judging if it's right or anything. I'm just saying it's not abnormal for women or men to take pictures of themselves and send it to their loved ones or their boyfriend or girlfriend. That's a normal thing.
Well, if that's normal, then I say, like, you know, I could see.
And I don't have any problem with I don't see why it's bad.
What I was going to say was, you know, you think about art and you think about people who pose nude. I mean, people are drawing pictures of them and so on and so forth. That's okay. So if that's the case, if you take a nude picture of yourself and you digitize it in any form, mode, or fashion, don't cry when it gets out there.
Well, see, I don't agree with that. Because, again, we all have a right to privacy. And, again, people are hacking accounts. That's a legal thing to do, right? That's actually taken very seriously. The FBI has gotten into this. So I don't have an issue with somebody taking nude pictures. I'm just saying, if you're going to do it and you are a celebrity and people are trying to get at you, I mean, there's a whole business of hackers that are trying to infiltrate stuff. And so they're probably targeting the Jennifer Lawrences of the world as opposed to the Michael Jones or Michael Dean. And I'm saying, if you are one of these people, you got to understand that you're going to have another level of security over that device, or like your home PC for that matter, right? You can't just have the normal shit and you got some very intimate things on there, or take away the intimate thing. Maybe you just, example, maybe you are Prince or something and you have your newest album on your phone, you know, the MP3s. You might want to lock that phone down a little bit better. Because that's valuable to people, that stuff that you got, right? Whether it's your pictures or it's music or whatever. So I'm just saying, you need to put some better security on that shit or understand the world we live in today is hack central. Like, they're trying to get you. Which leads us to go into Jill Scott. I'm sorry about this. So we heard about the Jennifer Lawrence's, and you said you saw the Kate Upton pictures, but you might not, or you may not have known, they didn't really report that the Jill Scott has some pictures that came out. I think hit the net yesterday or day before yesterday. And she even responded back to these pictures. Now, there are two pictures. I'm looking at one of them. Yes, I'm thirsty. I'm looking at one of them. and you can see her face. And she's holding the camera phone like she's in the, you know, at the mirror. And, okay, hey, there you go. You know, and then there's another one where her face is slightly obscured by the phone. But she's actually nude. Or, you know, stuff is out. And, but she says that the one with her face in it, yes, that is me. But the one with, you know, with the bags out and the cooch out is not her. And apparently, I guess if you look closely at the phones, they're saying the phones are different. I can see a little. I don't know. They have the same color. It's a hell of a coincidence. Here's the thing. She says that one is not her, and they're bringing up the phones being slightly different. But here's the thing. Both of those phones are the same color. Both of them have a woman who has almost sort of the same sort of hairdo and sort of built the same. So it's a hell of a coincidence. Right? So I don't know. I mean, hey, I ain't got nothing wrong with either. I got nothing wrong with either one of the pictures, but, you know.
It might.
I guess one picture where the nipples is out and the vajayjay is out is a difference than the one that. What's your take on these, sir? Have you seen these pictures?
Well, first of all, you said both the phones are the same color.
They look like they're both orange.
Both of those bags are the same color too, and they're hanging the same.
That's what I'm saying. Ain't that hell of a coincidence? It just happened to be another woman that just kind of had the same body shape. That's interesting.
Yeah. I think I've pretty much enumerated how I feel about this. I don't understand. To me, it's all about ego and what's the word I'm looking for? Self, not self-worth, maybe self-worth to a certain degree, but what's the word I'm looking for? When you have to have all the attention and all, that's what it is. It's
But again, these are pictures for themselves, so it'd be different if they put them out there, then I can understand what you're saying.
I guess I don't believe that they're pictures for themselves. Why do they need pictures of themselves?
Again, I would only assume, I'm speaking of women, who would shoot pictures like this. One, she says the first one was for her weight loss. She wanted to see the difference in her body, which I can believe that because she's not posing nude in that picture. But the second one, I could believe it too. But again, I have no problem if she was sending that to her man or something, right? I mean, that would be something a man would have. Yeah, I need to. Can I get that? I'm over here, such and such. Can I get it? Oh, yeah, thank you. So I don't have any problem with that. I don't know if that's anything with ego or anything. Somebody, you think somebody look good or that's your person, but go ahead with what you're saying.
Well, no, I just don't see the need to. You know what? Let me back up for a sec. I just remembered something.
You remember them dick pics you said?
I remember some from college.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, see?
But let me just say, I've seen the error of my ways.
What were you sending out, Mike?
Well, I was dating a young woman, and I was in much better shape back then.
Uh-oh. Here comes the ego.
And she was in really... No. She was in really good shape. Uh-huh. I took a picture of her.
Uh-huh.
And she insisted, and she didn't tell me this was part of the deal, that she had to take a picture of me since I took a picture of her.
Okay. So I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want you to fall into the same trap that Nick Cannon has fell into with Mariah Carey. You're getting out there talking too crazy out there about past situations.
Oh, this is back in like 1986 or something. I'm good.
So now you change your perspective on this whole thing?
I mean, listen, if you're talking about my wife, she's seen far worse photos than that.
Hey.
That I should have kept hidden.
Take your word for it.
let me just say to all my peeps in Indianapolis, you can take photos with the girls at the Sunset Strip.
Okay, there you go. The other side of Q Storms coming.
There you go. who was the single bachelor side of it.
Who was the lady's name that you mentioned off the air just before we started? You compared it to Jill. You said you looked up Jill Scott's, but you came up.
Jada Fire.
Okay, there you go. I'll leave that to the listeners. You hey, Google what? That. Y'all can see where he's at.
I just wish. I put on my Facebook page. I wish Sofia Vergara had been stupid enough to do the same thing.
Oh, is this the one from, was it Modern Family?
Yes. Okay. And Soul Plane.
Oh, right.
And what, Meet the Brown? Well, she was in a Tyler Perry movie, too. The one with Angela Bassett.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. All right. Let's get off of Jill Scott's.
I mean, I will say that, you know.
For the record, to me, she looked good to me. So I
well. She looked well. Okay, yeah. Let's move on.
If you can't say nothing nice, I'll take it.
I'll say this. Looking at those photos, there's some potential there. But looking at those photos, it makes me wonder why she was cast as James Brown's wife.
Jill Scott is fine, man. That's just my opinion.
Bang, well, man. Okay. We'll
leave it alone. All right. So we're gonna shift gears. I wanna play a little something. Things may get a little serious here, but just interesting to me. So we're gonna play a little audio. Hold on for a second, ladies and gentlemen.
When these barbarians replicated with Stephen what they did with Foley, who is from New Hampshire, they somehow think that it's going to lessen U.S. resolve, frighten us, intimidate us. But if they think the American people will be intimidated, they don't know us very well. We came back after 9/11. We dusted ourselves off, and we made sure that Osama bin Laden would never, ever again threaten the American people. We came back, Boston strong, blaming no one but resolve to be certain that this didn't happen again. Today, America may be grieving, still grieving from Jim Foley, a native of New Hampshire, as I said, who grew up in Rochester. But the American people are so much stronger, so much more resolved than any enemy can fully understand. As a nation, we're united. And when people harm Americans, we don't retreat. We don't forget. We take care of those who are grieving. And when that's finished, they should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice. Because hell is where they will reside. Hell is where they will reside.
All right. And that was Vice President Joe Biden. He's talking about the ISIS terrorists. You know, there was two American journalists, Stephen Stoltloff and Jim Foley were beheaded and, you know, videotaped released. So that's what he's addressing. But And shout outs and respect to those two gentlemen and their family. Let me be clear.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that stuff is crazy. But I wanted almost like he was Samuel Jackson. And I hope you burn in hell. I'm like, he's ready for war, basically. I mean, he's ready to get it popping. And, you know, sort of the contrast from Obama's statements. I don't know if you've seen. When Obama spoke about this, I think it was yesterday, he spoke about the second one. And Obama was, you know, they've been talking about him in the news. So he said he didn't have a strategy and this and that and the other. But my man's coming with fire and brimstone. You know, you say we come in Boston strong, which I'm not from Boston, so that sort of loses me. I don't know what that is, but I assume that means he's coming with force.
Well, it's coming from the bombings, I assume. How they came back from the bombings.
Oh, okay. There you go. I wasn't aware of that, right? And, you know, America's united. Now we're united. What's your take on this before I say what I'm saying?
Now, are you asking what is my take
on... What is your take on Biden's, you know, very emotional, passionate talk here? This was at the Portsmouth Naval Yard, and he was there delivering a speech about the economy. But then, you know, of course, he had to speak on this situation.
Well, I think all that was... I mean, I think he meant what he said, but it was mostly political. I don't want to say grandstanding, because I think he believed what he said. But, you know, and I'm not saying this to say anything negative, but, you know, it's kind of like when President Obama said, we're going to draw a red line in the sand and Putin crosses it. He didn't say we'll go to war, but it was implied we would strike back with all that we could. And nothing happened when Putin did cross that line. So that, to me, you know, he's delivering a fiery speech, but that's all it is. I don't expect him to. And he's supposed to do that. He's delivering a fiery speech. But, you know, like you just said, he's ready to go to war. No, he's not. He's not ready to go to war. That's not their policy right now. So that was just to rally the emotions and show that we're strong. There's nothing more. I don't read any more into that speech.
Do you think that I kind of think that that's how some people want Obama to be like that? Like the
I agree. I agree. And maybe he should. I did not hear Obama's response. When did it happen? Yesterday?
Yeah, I think he did speak, and he's overseas right now.
Right.
But he did take some time to talk about the situation. I don't have it up with me, but it was definitely not, you know, he did not say anything like this, nor did he, you know, it would be a sight to see, I'd imagine, to see Obama coming out of himself, going in, going in, like, we've never really seen him do that, from what I can understand. Like, he's never.
Yeah, it would come across as fake. I mean, Joe Biden had that personality before. You know, that's Joe Biden. That's who he is. He's known for shooting his mouth off, and so that's his personality. If Obama were to do that, to me, it would come off as fake. You know, so I don't expect him to talk like that.
What are your thoughts on this ISIS situation?
Well, I think that.
Why do you? Why, I'm just curious. Why did you do that?
Do what? The groan?
What was that about?
Because I can already hear my Facebook challengers coming at me. Okay. I honestly feel like this is why you don't go to war on a whim. And what I mean by that is, had we not gotten engaged in the Iraq War, there wouldn't be this war weariness that we're experiencing now, which is why putting boots on the ground back over there in Iraq again is not desired. Although I'm reading reports that the American people are starting to turn and say they think we should. Some think we should go back over there. But if we hadn't spent 10 years in Iraq already, I think most people would be like, yes, we need to go over there and stop ISIS, because these people are, you know, crazy enough, so crazy that Al-Qaeda distanced themselves from them. And as you see, I don't recall, I mean, Al-Qaeda did, they perpetrated 9/11. But these guys are chopping off the heads of journalists, not necessarily the enemy, but journalists who are just over there reporting the story.
American journalists. Right.
Right. It's confirmed that we're both American, right?
Yes. Yeah. One of them. I think one of them did have dual citizenship, but they were American citizens.
Right. But, you know, you don't really. I'm saying this just from what my anecdotal experience. You don't really see these people killing the journalists, because my experience is that they see the journalists are generally seen as just reporting the story apolitically. Now, whether that's true or not, that's another debate, but they're killing journalists over there. So,
yeah. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. So, I mean, it scares me to think that this group is going to be in control of a large part of the Middle East. Because if anyone is crazy enough to point a bomb to towards Israel or the United States, it sounds like it's these guys. So we're in a position where we may have to go to war because these guys are just insane. Now, whether or not there's a reason for behind their insanity, maybe whether or not the United States did something in the past or that pissed them off, or we've oppressed them in some way or another. I would be willing to listen to that argument. But by the same token, if you're cutting off the heads of journalists and you've sworn to destroy the infidel, we can't really talk. There's nothing. We can't really have a conversation.
Yeah, this, you know, and I don't know all the minutiae and different things. I just know that, yeah, there was two American journalists kidnapped and then basically murdered on video. Very, very brutal type of stuff, man. And that's not good. It's not good at all. You know, I don't know all the stuff that led up to it. I'm not going to fake like I know or I've been following the whole situation. You know, I've been seeing some different news reports where there's been some American people being killed over there that were on the side of the ISIS. And I've seen some reports about people coming out of, the Somalian community, if correct me if I'm wrong, over in Minnesota. There's a whole little thing going on with a couple of cats from that area were killed in over there fighting for ISIS. And, you know, they talk about, are they trying to recruit people from over there? It's very interesting, you know, that there are these Americans, and some of them kind of look like me, you know, or brown skin, black, whatever. I don't know why, you know, what the thought process is, but they're leaving. They're American citizens going over there fighting for those people. That baffles my mind. Like, what's really going on?
Well, I guess you could say there's some brainwashing going on. Or see, here's my thing, and I may take some heat for this. Listen, there's no justification for what happened on September 11th. There's no justification for killing people from the West. But what I would say is, yeah, that has to be stamped out. But what I would say is, I want to understand, or I want to know the truth as to why they feel that way. Because this whole thing about they hate our way of life, that doesn't do it for me. I want to know how do we get our hand? What did the United States do? Did we do any dirt to them that they are fighting back against us? I want to have a clear conscience before I wipe out somebody in war. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, that's a good question to ask. That is something that needs to be addressed. I mean, that's some homework that we have to do for ourselves as well, to find out as much information as we can. You know, the other part too is like, and you know, the journalists over there and stuff, and I respect journalists. I don't claim to be one. I know some people may argue, well, you kind of telling the news. Yeah, but, and this is, let me jump on the coon. I don't know if there's a coon train for this. I guess they may call it the un-American train or something, but here's the thing. What about black on black crime? No, I'm just joking. What? But what about black on black? But anyway, why? So when you go over to this area, and it's hot right now, and I may have spoken about this on another show, but when you go into that hot zone right now, you know, those guys are probably just seeing any American as the enemy. They don't care about what your job is. Or you got money or you don't. They're probably like, yo, you American, and, you know, throw this in there. They may be like, yo, you white. You know, you stand out in this region just on that alone. But you an American? No, grab him, man. But no, they're not going to, and they're not doing no to go. You know, they're like, yo, we either you pay him money or, you know, we're going to do this crazy, you know, gangster stuff. This is off the charts. But I was like, man, we don't need to be over there, man. Like, nobody don't need to be over there unless you really, you ready to put in work. Like, you know what you're walking into. I can't be shocked that Katz is getting hemmed up, basically. Because you don't walk in those areas, man. Like, that's not, it ain't safe. You don't have no right. Well, yeah, you could say you have a right, but that don't mean nothing against gangsters. Like, they don't, so what? They don't care, right? They're not playing by those rules.
Are you talking about the journalists or people?
I'm talking about the journalists or anybody that's over there who's not a soldier, I guess. Like, it's hot over there right now. And the journalistic rules, they don't care about that, man. They playing by the rules of the bullet.
You know? What are you saying? The journalists should not go over there?
I say that, I personally say if you go over there, go knowing what you're getting into because it's hot. That's the hot zone. And you're like, you know, they. I don't know if the government is saying don't go over there, or, but I'm just saying you got to use a little bit of sense to say, you know what, look, it'd be no different than you was in the neighborhood. I'm not going down that block because that's a blood neighborhood and I ain't affiliated with it. And
yeah, but the thing is, what if your job is a policeman?
Well, that's what I said. If you're in the military,
I'm saying
what you're going into.
I'm saying a journalist's job is to report news. So how can the news be reported over there unless journalists go over there?
Again, if you're willing to risk your life for the journalistic rights, then you do that. That's cool. But don't. I'm just saying, like, that doesn't mean they don't have to respect. Obviously, they don't respect that, so they don't care about that. So if your job is going to put you in that danger, then you know what you're getting yourself into. That's all. As long as you accept that responsibility and the risks, then, you know, hey, that person elected to go be over there. Should we? And I'm not speaking on these gentlemen because I don't know their situation. Right. To be very clear, you know, no disrespect. I'm just saying kind of moving forward. Like if somebody says, well, if you go over there now, you know, if you go over there, they coming for you, right? They looking for you. They ready to cut you, literally cut your head off. Now, should we be sending more troops because this dude elected to go into the hot zone? No.
Well, wait.
Don't go over there.
We're not sending troops because of these journalists going over there.
Well, you see Obama and they're talking about, and some of the other countries talking about, we're going to put 300 more troops. Now, they're going to claim it's not nothing to do with this. It's just a coincidence that they're speaking about this now after these situations have happened.
Well, I mean, what it shows is that how dangerous it, look, I'm not here to debate whether or not we should go to war with them. But I'm saying, if you're saying that we shouldn't send troops over there because of these people being beheaded, what I'm saying is it's not the, we wouldn't send troops over there because these people, these journalists were beheaded. But the beheadings show how ruthless they are. And it's a warning sign to say, hey, these cats are not playing. We can't play either.
Right, and I agree with that. I said after the fact, going forward, like, don't walk into the hot zone and expect to be rescued, knowing where you're at now. Like,
I don't think any of the, I honestly.
Well, I hope they don't. That's what I'm saying. Don't do that. Well, I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying don't. You know, if you go over there, it's because you choose to be in the hot area, and all bets are off. Like, don't call 911 or. Unless them people say you can stay over here, then to me, journalists, I don't care what your job is. If your job is going to put you in a danger zone, hopefully you're going to make a conscious decision. Say, you know what? I got to report and get these hits on this website. So I'm going to go over there. Or I got to tell, you know, whatever the justification you're using to put your life on the line, then that's your business. But to me personally, I would say, you know what? You might want to fall back on getting into those areas right now. Let the military get that situated, or if they can't, then you probably won't want to be over there because, you know, if you got a mom or somebody at home or whatever, you're putting your situation at risk. These dudes ain't playing. That's all I'm saying.
I'll put it like this. I mean, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what you say, but I think the true journalists who are in it for the career, not in it for the glory, that's in their blood. That's what they do. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw the movie, it was an HBO movie, Live from Baghdad, but it basically was a narrative that that showed the reporters of CNN. They went into Iraq during the first Iraq war under George H.W. Bush. And there was a scene where everyone was running for the all the journalists when they heard that the was it the Americans were going to attack or someone was going to attack in Kuwait. All the journalists in that green zone, they were getting the hell out of there. It was a scene where they were all in the lobby checking out and running to the airport.
Right.
And Michael Keaton, he was playing, I forget the character, the real life person he played, but he and Bernie. What's the black dude's name? I can't think of his name. The reporter for anchor for CNN, Bernie Waters, and the producer and a couple other people. They opted to stay behind, and they got some great coverage. That event was what people commonly say put CNN on the map when CNN was about to die.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm saying, my point is that I think that most of the journalists over there are doing it for the love of their profession. Now, there are some journalists, I can't think of their names. There's one guy, I think he works for CBS. I think he's a clown. I think he's just in it for the journalism. And I say that because whatever story he does, you tend to see more cutaways of him than you do of the subject. So somebody like that, yeah.
Well, I hear what you're saying. And I respect it. And I understand it. I get it. It's a, you know, at the end of the day, it is a job or it is a career. It's a passion sort of thing. I'd be the last person to say anything about that. I'm just saying, if my passion puts me in a situation where it may take my life, I got to think about what I'm doing as long as I make the conscious decision to be over there. Because at the end of the day, unless those journalists are posting those stories online for free, they're only doing it so some company can make some money. They don't put the news out on for free. They don't put the news out without advertisers. So if you that into it and that's what you for, then that's good. Go for it. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to do it for the hits, you know, the web traffic or the sponsorship, whatever, I would say think about it, because they don't care about the dudes, the ISIS cats and them like-minded super gangsters, thugs, terrorists. They don't care nothing about your job and why you there. They just see you as an American. And they're not going to be, oh, he's, you know, journalist, hands off. No, they're probably looking for you to make an example. I'm just saying, think twice, man. It's serious. It's real serious. They posting video. They doing it for journalism too, right? They putting the news out. They putting the videos out for hits, for intimidation. They got their reasons too. I'm just saying they're playing for keeps. So if it's worth it for you to make CNN better or whatever news organization you work for, then go right ahead. But I'm just saying, man, it's hot out there right now. I just don't think cats should be over there personally. That's my opinion.
All right. But see, and what's funny is just yesterday I was going back and forth with an associate that I used to work with years ago. And he would probably deny this, but he was clowning the journalists over there, you know, talking about these white guys, these foolish white boys over there. These are the same cats that bungee jump and this and that. They don't know how to say no to danger and this and that. And I'm like, why are we clowning these journalists? They're performing a service.
They're performing a job. That's clear.
They're performing a service.
Again, are they posting the news for you so that you can see it, or are they sending it to their editor at the company? That's a job.
They're sending it to their editor. Well, Mike, being a soldier is a job.
Right. And I don't give that. I hold that the same way. You make a decision. You're not being drafted to be there. It's a job. I don't say that's a service. I'm saying that as a job. You get paid. You are
When you say it that way, you're saying it like it's a pejorative.
It's
not a service. It's a job.
Get it down for me. What does that mean?
The tone of your voice, the context, you make it sound like, no, you're not doing it for the betterment of knowledge or information of what's going on. You're just doing it because it's a job. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's exactly what I said. I said it's a job. I didn't say it's a service.
It is a service.
To me, when you serve somebody, you just give it freely. You serve it.
No,
to me, the guy that's a waiter for me, he's doing a job. He's expecting to get paid for what he does. He wouldn't be there without the pay. It's not a passion.
How do you know that? Is what
well,
I'm saying.
The guy that's serving, I'm jumping off topic. I'm talking about the waiter dude. Now, these reporters, I don't know them specifically. That's why I said I don't know these two guys' motivations. Not speaking on them. I'm just saying, typically, and I could be wrong, most reporters or journalists, they do work for some company. They're doing their job.
Right.
It's not as if they have a website their own and they're putting the stuff out there.
What does that matter, though?
Well, it matters because they're doing a job. So if they weren't get paid, they probably wouldn't be out there unless they was really into it, which some of them are. I'm not going to take that away from them.
What I'm saying to you, I wouldn't be surprised if there are some people who would do that without being paid.
I agree with you. There are. Of course there are. There's a lot. I don't know if the ones out in that situation are, but maybe so. I don't know.
It just sounds like we're throwing shade at these journalists because we think what they're doing is foolish and foolhardy. And I'm saying they are performing a service by letting us know what's going on over there. The anchor sitting behind the desk on the CBS NBC or God help us Fox News channel, they wouldn't know shit if it weren't for the journalists that are over there, unless all they do is read off the wire.
I agree with you in general.
And I don't respect them as a news.
I agree with you in general, but I just don't really see the quote journalist guy out there in the trenches is somehow taking the information and giving it to the anchor head you see on TV. I don't really. The information that's being put forth, I would call that journalists. I don't really, you know, these are just stories they're getting from AP or something. I don't really see the journalists in that because I don't know the journalists. That to me, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who's reporting what. I just see the Bill O'Reillys and the such and such talking, but I don't know where they pulling the information from. Who's the journalist?
Well, I can tell you for a fact. On Meet the Press.
You make it sound as if there's just these guys out there working for the love of the game, and then they're turning over their hard work over to Bill O'Reilly. And journalists are doing this for the love. I don't know.
I think they are doing it for the love, and they're also doing it for a paycheck. Of course, everybody works for a paycheck. Just because you're not working for yourself doesn't make it any less justifiable.
Right, but I'm talking in the context of putting yourself in a very life-threatening situation. That's why.
That's what they want to do.
That's what I'm saying. If you make the choice to do it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, to me, if it's I don't know what they're breaking or what their journalist sort of breakthrough is. Like, we know those are terrorists. I understand, you know, for much as I do know about it, which is limited, it's hot over there. I get that. You know, the terrorists are the ones putting the videos up. I get that.
Right.
So I don't know what you're the one being used as the pawn. But that's what I'm saying. Like
I don't understand what you mean by that.
Well, I'm saying like they're over there for the love of it. I don't know what they're doing to make change because
they're not supposed to make change.
I'm saying the information that they're reporting. I don't know what they're reporting and how that is changing anything or how that's giving more information. Because from what I'm seeing, again, very limited, is that they're killing the journalists.
Mike, let me ask you, do you watch any evening news?
Sometimes, yes, I do.
How often do you watch it?
Not very often.
Do you watch any Sunday morning news programs?
No, I haven't because I've been working, but I probably start watching. I mean, I read the news.
But what I'm saying is that if you watch some of these programs, mm-hmm. like watch the news regularly, you'd see that the reporters and the journalists in the field are highly valuable assets to getting the story across.
I agree with you. I didn't say I disagree with you. I agree with the point of being a journalist. I understand what that is. I'm just saying in extreme situations as this is, where they're literally killing the journalists, I just say you might want to take a step back to maybe I don't need to be in those streets where they're literally kidnapping journalists and cutting their heads off.
I might want to fall back
and just rethink. That's my whole point. I'm not.
Why do you care that they rethinking it? Why do you?
Because I don't want to see people getting killed.
But it's their life to sacrifice if they want to.
Very true. I don't disagree with that. True.
And the thing is that I don't want to see people killed either. But it's just like the soldiers, just like our soldiers. I don't want to see them killed needlessly. But I do understand that sometimes this country has to go to war.
Right, but the journalists aren't going to war, so I don't understand what you're saying.
My point is they're performing a service. It's different from the service that soldiers in the military perform, but they're performing a service as well. I don't want to see them killed, but God bless them for going out there so I can know what's going on.
Like I said, I don't disagree on your points.
So I don't understand why everyone is saying, well, y'all better reconsider what you're doing. Why?
Well, because they're getting killed. That's probably why people are saying
that. But they don't. Why?
Does that make sense to you that people are just concerned that they don't want some people getting killed? Whether or not they make the choice, I mean, people just don't want people getting killed, particularly in such a gruesome manner as that, right?
I don't want them killed either.
Right, so we agree.
But I do like the fact that I am learning what's happening because of their efforts. So what I do is, rather than say, you need to rethink what you're doing, I accept that they're grown-ups, they're adults, and they are professionals, and I applaud them for doing their job.
I can applaud them for doing their job, too. I just don't want to see them dead. I don't feel like there's no really reason you need to be dead to do that job. That's me. But again, we disagree on that. So that's
There's no reason. I'm saying the reason is so you know what's going on. That's the reason.
Well, I don't think some things I may not need to know if it's going to be causing you to die. Like I know that they're terrorists.
I think you're saying that. I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but I think you're saying that from a place of ignorance.
I could be, but that's still my point. It's still my opinion. I'm just saying I don't want to see you die so I can get some information. There could be other ways to get it. That's just my. That's
what are
my
the other point. Ways? What
There's many other ways. The people on the ground there can do it. They have. I would imagine
well,
there
okay
are.
It's okay for them to die?
No, listen close.
You don't mind them dying? I don't understand.
I'll explain it again. I'm going to go back.
Okay.
They're not killing. What country are they in?
ISIS is invading. Is currently invading Iraq.
Okay. They probably. I haven't heard of it. I could be speaking in a place of ignorance. I don't know if they've killed Iraq journalists, cutting their heads off and putting the videos out. I know that they have probably targeted two American journalists, not just random journalists, but American journalists in that country. That's my point. So I'm saying there's probably another way. There may be some people that may be sympathetic to our interests who want the news to come out that are journalists over there, which I'm sure there are. And they could probably be better suited to be in that area to present the news because, one, their life is probably not going to be in danger to do it.
Why do you
It'd
say
be
that?
No different than
Mike. I'm gonna stop you, Mike.
Sure, go ahead. Just like what is that place? Al-Kaziri or whatever. There's a lot of legitimate news organizations and journalists around the world, and they may be in certain areas where you don't have access to, right? Because if they see you on site, they're blasting. So maybe we send this guy in. I mean, just to me, that just makes sense. Again, if you want to go in there, cool. You can make the decision to do that. I'm just saying, think about what you're doing because that's the hot spot, and you are the target. You represent the enemy in their mind. So I'm just saying, if you represent the enemy in their mind, they don't care if you're over there for a service or whatever it is. They're blasting on Americans. So I'm saying maybe you have the guy who looks like them and lives over there.
Mike,
maybe
he'd
be
you,
the.
Please.
Well, Mike. Can I finish my point, please?
Yeah, I'm just trying to help
maybe,
you out.
All right, but let me finish. Okay. Maybe you have them report it because they can probably get in places that you can't and walk out. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that I am an expert at all about what I'm about to say. However, what I understand is that Iraq, one of the reasons that there's a problem over there is because you have two, I want to say sect of religion, of Muslim religion. Mm-hmm. You have the Sunnis and the Shiites, okay? And I should know which is which. I forget. I get confused. But one of the problems is that when we went over there and got rid of Saddam and this Maliki guy stepped up, he was supposed to create an atmosphere of inclusion. It was supposed to be a democracy. Okay. But he shut out one of those sects, religious sects.
Mm-hmm.
So they felt disenfranchised from the whole process. Thus, you have the beginnings of the Civil War.
Okay.
Thus, you had ISIS, who's able to recruit some of those people and say, we'll take care of you. We're going to come back in, and we're going to run shop.
Right, right.
Okay? So your statement about people that look like them, one.
I say people that look like them or live over there and that can pass. Right,
okay. Either one. So, one.
The difference between a person that lives
can
over
I get
there
my point out?
And that looks like them and a white American that comes in there that will just stand out right out the gate.
No, but what I'm saying is that doesn't work. Because if you have a civil war, you have one side who's probably not going to report the facts because they are in favor of the invading force. And or two, you have the other people who feel left out, so they're going to be biased as well. So you're not going to
get. Of course,
get,
the American reporters are not biased at all, right? You're talking about biases. They have to be included in this too, right?
Well, I haven't seen any reports that said. I hope they kill those guys, or I haven't seen any reports that.
And you have watched the reports from the other side. Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
You said you haven't seen any reports that say I hope to do. And you, are you saying
I
that comparison? But you have seen reports from the other journalists and media that have said that are not American based. Why would you?
I haven't seen any reports
either way. Have you,
Mike? I haven't seen any reports that would speak to a bias either way. I've seen reports that are just telling me what's going on over there.
Okay, so again, are you talking about the American journalists that have the bias, or are you talking about other journalists that are not American?
Well, the fact is, I don't know how all of the information is coming to my TV set, but I do know that a lot of it is coming from American journalists.
Right. So you don't have the other side to compare your point to, right? You just said that they probably are not biased, but you just admitted you haven't seen the other side, so you don't know if they're biased or not. And, couldn't they all have a point of bias? You're not telling me that the American reporters may not have a bias in what they're reporting to you.
No, I don't think they do.
Okay. Then that's the end of that conversation.
What do you think the bias is? I don't understand.
Just saying, it was just interesting to me that us, America, you know, as you brought up earlier, a lot of the reports to the question of why are these things going on? Oh, because they hate us, because they ain't us. Well, that's a very biased statement and probably not necessarily true. But again, that's coming from what we see and what we know of. That's what you're basing your opinion on. You said that.
I'm saying the bias could be from both sides.
I'm saying that's what they say. I didn't say that's the reason. I'm just saying that's what we've heard, right?
Right.
Okay, now that's a biased statement, isn't it? I'm not saying you are being biased. I'm just saying what we've heard from the whatever you heard that from. And I'm just saying, could the American media be biased? Well, there is a chance. That's
what
all
would the
I'm
bias
saying.
Be? What would the bias be?
Maybe we want it to be a democracy there, or maybe we have other interests that are to us as opposed to the people who live there who may have other interests. I mean, we could all have biases. That's my only point. I don't know enough to know what the biases are, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I can just trust the American because they ain't got no bias. The history of the media is going to argue with me on that. That's my point. So I'm saying you're right. I say they all could have biases. So why not have them all have a voice? But just to say that the American guy can go over there and give you an unbiased approach, I personally cannot agree with that. You have the last word on this and we're going
to
move on.
Well, my question to you would be, I don't agree with anything pretty much you just said, but what I'm saying is, are you then saying it's okay for an Iraqi journalist or a Muslim journalist to risk his life?
Now, I said you had the last words. My point was to say that for a person who may pass for being in that area, their life may not be at risk.
But they're killing them people too. They're journalists. They're killing journalists.
I said earlier, I could be wrong. I said I have not seen the videos posted of them cutting off the heads of non-American journalists yet.
Maybe because you don't see the journal.
I said that could be ignorance. But I'm just telling you based off of the information that we are talking about that we know. I haven't seen that yet. So, obviously, I'm just saying, based off of the two videos that we've seen, they might be targeting American journalists. That's all I'm saying.
Let me just say this.
And you have the last word. Go ahead.
We do know for a fact that they have killed, that ISIS has killed their own people.
Right. But again, But so, again, I understand that.
I'm gonna have the last word.
But you're going into a place where they're killing. You're going into a place where they're killing their own people, and they don't already like you. So I'm just saying, you're risking your situation going to a place that is not your country.
That's
now, one guy did have dual citizenship, but I'm just saying, you're going into a hot zone. Yes, they're killing their own people. That's their problem, and that's their problem.
But your statement of saying
you do have the last word.
Someone who looks like them over there.
No, I didn't say send nobody. I'm saying the people that's already over there.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Send the people.
Can't Al Jazeera, don't they report over there?
Mike, listen to what I'm saying. You said use the people that are already over there that look like them to report.
The journalists, and, yes.
Right. They would get killed too because they've already slaughtered lots of those people.
So you can go over there and get slaughtered too. That's my point. Anyway, let's move
on. If I'm a journalist and I have journalistic...
Go ahead, you got the last word.
If I'm a journalist and I want to report the story, mm-hmm. and I felt strongly enough about it, I would go over there and I wouldn't expect anyone to say, oh, well, you better do this or that. Fuck you. This is my job. I'm a professional.
There you go.
So clap for me instead of telling me, oh, you crazy.
Hey, do what you must do what feels... best, of course, and that's Ben Kenobi. Now we're gonna move on.
You want Jedi on me? What?
We're gonna move on to the next one. He's all right, brother. I want to play another clip, another story. Here we go.
No doubt you've heard of roommates having issues and not getting along, but this case takes it to a whole new level, a violent one at that. Take a look at the man. San Antonio police say this man, 42-year-old Antonio Flores, just couldn't handle the noise coming from his roommate's bedroom one night. Investigators say the roommate was having an intimate visit with two women in his bedroom, and apparently the threesome was just too loud for Flores. According to his arrest warrant, he kicked down the bedroom door, complaining they were being too loud, and then police say he grabbed a kitchen knife and started stabbing his roommate. The victim was stabbed several times in his head, back, and hands. He was taken to University Hospital and amazingly survived the attack. Now, police say both women were able to identify Flores by naming him from a photo lineup the night of the alleged assault. Reporting live, Jenny Suniga, Ken's 5, Eyewitness News.
All right, so this okay. is...
Okay, I just want to say, I've heard of cock blocking, but damn.
Wow, this is some severe hating right here. Like, so, this is San Antonio, Texas, a local man.
My man was like, if the homies... It ain't no fun. It's the homies game.
Apparently, I think this was the guy's birthday.
What?
Yeah, it started out. It was a birthday. His birthday
which
present
guy?
To
which,
him.
Which guy?
The guy with the threesome, obviously. Okay. He's having a birthday in his bed with two women, and then his roommate, heard him in there hitting. Take that, whatever. And he's like, Yo, what was the guy's name? Well, his name was Flores.
Antonio Flores. She was clear about that.
Hey, Zeus, man. Cut it down, Zeus. Fuck your mind. I'm going to hear
you.
I know. I'm just terrible. I'm in here hitting these holes, man.
Wow.
And, and my man said, turn it down now. I got to go to work in the morning. And fuck you, Jose. You just mad because you ain't getting any pussy.
Okay, listen. I haven't said a word. That's all Michael Dean right there.
That's just a joke. My man said, boom, bust that door open, pull out a knife, start stabbing cats. Like, what is going on, man? The guy, in serious, stabbed his roommate several times, including the head, back, and arms. Victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They had a photo lineup. Like, they didn't know who the dude was. Like, maybe he left or something. I don't know. But, yeah, guy got arrested, man. He was arrested 3 months later. What the hell? He must have cut ghosts. He was running to the border. No, I'm just joking. I mean, what's going on, man? Can't a guy just have a nice little threesome?
Well, I don't know. It seems a little drastic, kind of an overreaction.
He was a hater.
I don't know what the guy's situation was. Did he have an early morning test? Did he have an interview the next day? I mean, how loud could it have been?
You know, well, you know, it probably wasn't that. Again, he's mad because, you know, your boy's in there. You got two chicks and he ain't hitting it. You probably smell
it. If that's my boy, I'm not going to be mad. I'll be like, yeah, go get him. And can you throw something my way after?
You might put a little too much information out there, Mike, but.
What are you talking about? I'm just saying.
You said, what am I talking about? Never mind.
He's my boy, right?
No, hey, I get it, man. Do you. Yep, you right.
You just said, can a man have a threesome?
And you said you wanted to get the seconds, but hey, do your thing, man. You're right. What am I talking about, right?
Okay. I guess I don't understand how the game is played, but
I don't understand how the game is
played. If he's hitting and they get done with him, if they want to come in my room and get some more, what's wrong with that?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man. So I guess they wasn't sharing. Sharing is caring. In this case, he either he didn't want to wait, or they wasn't. I don't know what the case is. He was mad at his buddy. I just think it's birthday, man. Let him get his thing, you know. But yeah, this unfortunate. Unfortunate. All right.
What would drive him to do that? That's what I'm trying to. I'm just trying to figure what made him so angry that he would go in and possibly potentially commit murder.
Man, well, you know, when it comes to sex and girls, there's a lot of guys, man, that just don't get any play.
Was one of them his girlfriend? I can understand it then.
I don't even take that, man. Cats just mad because you see you doing something and they wanted to have that life or whatever and they don't have the game for it or something. And just mad, you know, there's a lot of mad people out there, a lot of mad dudes, man. Especially when it's right next door to you. Boom, 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 boom. He's like, God damn it. I hate that mother.
But that's his boy. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they might not have been boys. They could just been roommates. So they may not have been, you know what I mean? Like, it might not have been cool like that. It might have just been because it was a convenience thing.
All I know is when I was in college, my roommate, who's to this day is a good friend of mine, he used to kick me out the room a lot. I never wanted to stab him. I would just say, okay, now it's my time. Can you go down to the cafeteria or whatever?
Right. So you're talking about from a young man's point of view. These guys were 35 years old. The guy was 42. So at 42, but he's probably got a lot more bitterness in his heart at 42 because he ain't doing double way and he don't got his own place. You know, you're 42 at roommates. That is kind of an ill. And then your boy next door is banging two girls. He probably was, like I say, he might be a lot bitter in his heart at this point. Like, fuck.
You know? See, I don't know where this took place, but I know, like, I used to live outside of New York. And I know a lot of older people in New York, just because it's so expensive living there. That's not anything to say I'm 42 and have a room.
Yeah, but this is San Antonio, Texas. It's not New York. So,
well, I don't know what the cost of living in San Antonio is.
It ain't like New York.
Well.
Ain't nowhere near like
that.
New
I don't.
York.
I don't see that as an excuse.
Well, I mean, it's the hate, man. I'm telling you what it is. Cats is mad. They see you, and you shut up. Fuck you, man. You know, you talking greasy too, and you banging them. I mean, that's a lot to take, man. You'd be like, man, these people be doing stuff that don't even be roommates and banging and hating, going at cats for far less than, you know, of course, if it's right next door to you. I got to go to work, man. Man, fuck you, man. I don't really have a problem. I would kind of be mad too. I'm like, man, and you can't go nowhere. Maybe he can't go nowhere. He got to go to work. He's stressed already. Might not have a lot of money. And my man is having. It's your birthday. You know.
But I can understand being jealous. I can't understand being mad.
I don't either, but apparently Mr. Antonio, he was very mad.
You think?
He's trying to cut my man's dick off or something.
That's the understatement of the year right there.
Yeah, he's very mad. All right, let's see. Let's jump over to New York. We mentioned New York. All right, so the NYPD, they are sending their top precinct commanders to school. And what school could they be sending them to? Well, they are sending them apparently to Twitter school. I'm going to read a little bit here. New York Police Department precinct commanders are going back to school to study a subject that's second nature to any teen using social media. After a series of online gaffes, including a joke tweet about a dead woman and a hashtag that became a laughingstock, the NYPD is forcing top officers to take a course in Twitter. What do you think about this? I actually think this is a great idea, but what do you think?
I guess if that's what it takes, that's what it takes to get police, get to squelch all of the hatred between police and the community. If that's what it takes, I guess so. It just seems ridiculous that it comes to that. But
well, I think it comes because these are probably, I don't know, older police officers who just aren't really understanding the power of social media, but they're tweeting stuff that is highly inflammatory, not a good look for an authority figure or law enforcement. There was an example here. It says the course is designed to prevent embarrassments like a tweet sent by Captain Thomas Harsnish of Harlem last month, in which he made light of the death of a woman who fell onto the subway tracks at Union Square while using an iPad. His quote was, "Let me guess, driver's fault, right?" That's pretty harsh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh, man.
Well, again, listen. Can I be honest for a second? Can I keep it real?
Of 100? Course.
Anybody that doesn't have enough sense to know not to stay aware of your surroundings in a subway, there's only so much pity I can have for you, and that shit was funny. Okay.
Well, yeah, it is, but I mean, you can't, you know, that's not the right?
I know.
Heaven forbid they start, you know, you get the guy on there making some comments about Ferguson or something, that, you know, the department be like, "Yo, you just inflaming situations, or it's embarrassing." You know, again, he probably not even considering the fact that this shit is going to go out beyond my little 100 followers or something. Like, this is going, you know, it's going to hit the news, right? Cats going to lose their job over some shit like this. It's not a good look. And, you know, and particularly in their situation, that's a political situation where, you know, I'm sure the police chief and the mayor and stuff, they have the whim of the voters. So you can't be just fucking it up for, you know, top guy. You out of there. So again, it's probably, like I said, just to prevent embarrassment from the head, top of the heads, you know, and the people they have to answer to, that it's going to be the blowback is going to go on. So, yeah, get these dummies into Twitter school, because y'all ain't fucking up my political career. That's probably a lot of what this is. Like, slow your roll. No different than, like, if you were working for some big company and you just went online and start talking greasy, you could get fired for saying the wrong. And people have, right? They don't understand the power of Twitter and social media. Case in point, he could probably be in this school too, is CeeLo Green.
Oh, Lord.
We've seen, so Mr. CeeLo Green, before we get into the Twitter thing, he had just, I believe he pleaded no contest to some charges that were stemming from a 2012 incident where he had slipped a woman some ecstasy. And I guess they were trying to see if he was going to be up on some rape charges. He pleaded no contest to that. He basically got through with that. You know, he should be praying that he got through that. But then he took to Twitter after the math.
And hold on for a second.
Go ahead.
Did he get, I'm sorry, are you saying that he got acquitted of those charges? Or
yes. This was like a week ago or so.
Really? Yeah. How did he do that?
Well, the girl couldn't remember what happened. So it'd be her word and his, and basically she sort of consented to be with him, but then he put something in her drink and she just woke up. I think she woke up naked and just didn't know what happened the next morning. So since she didn't really know what happened, can really say it was rape. And again, he said, hey, you know what? No contest. Probably got a great lawyer. Cat walked on that.
He got Johnny Cochran Jr.
Something, right? So, and you would think your black ass would be and shut up and gone about your business. What's this song? I can't even think of the songs he got, but you would think that would be the end. Especially you black, you a male. Brother, go sit down. Right? But no.
And you're not the handsomest dude in the bunch.
But not Mr. CeeLo Green. You got to get up, get out, and get something. So he went on Twitter, and he starts talking. He says, quote, if someone is passed out, they're not even with you consciously, so with implies consent.
Is that what? I didn't read that part.
Yeah.
I just read where he said if they don't know what happened, it's not rape, or if they're not conscious, it's not rape.
He goes on to say, he's trying to make a point here. He says, when someone breaks on a home, there is broken glass. Where is your possible proof anyone was raped?
What?
Don't be dismissive now. Engage me for the truth. You can't just say regardless in a court of law. So if I tried but did not succeed, but the person said I did, then what really happened? Now, you listen to what he just said. So if I tried to rape you,
that's that OJ shit.
But I didn't succeed. Yeah, he's on some OJ shit. If I, that book he had, If I Did It, or
If I Did It, this is how I would have done it. Some shit like that.
Yeah, he is all over the place, man. And he just kept digging deep, deep, deep. And of course, Twitter and the world reacted. And he deleted his account. Then he brought the account back up, apologized.
There's that apology again.
He took off the tweets where he was talking greasy, but of course, nothing ever dies on the internet. So them tweets is out there. Twitter account was restored after the uproar. Leading into it, he had a new reality show called The Good Life that was on TBS. That shit's canceled.
Really? Because the title doesn't make sense now. Yeah, the title wouldn't be true.
They shut that down. They said the show had 6 episodes, the last one airing in June. A network source says that the cancellation due to low ratings is just a coincidence that they announced.
The show has been aired?
It was an ongoing show.
It was about him.
Yeah, it was his own reality show. And then again, he's apologized the second time, but you know, he's pretty much done for right now. You know?
I think you put this on your Facebook page and I commented that this is the, black version of Todd Akin.
Yeah. I don't know what he was thinking, man. Like,
well, you said you didn't know some of his songs.
I know him. I just can't. I was trying to think of the titles of them, but go ahead.
Well, one of them, I don't know how you can forget the title. One of them was called Fuck You.
Right. Was it something crazy?
Oh, crazy. Well, that was with the group, Gnarls Barkley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, Bruno Mars won't be writing for him anytime soon.
Nah, he might want to go on a tour with, what's my man who was with Paula Patton?
No. Oh.
What's his name?
Robin Thicke.
Yeah, he might well hook up with him and Robin Thicke and go on tour because it's over.
Yeah.
You fucked up, bro. Damn. What were you thinking, man?
I never was really a fan of his. I bought that last album. The album that had the FU song on it. And there's a track on there that sounds like he ripped it off from Billie Jean, the bass line. But yeah, I never got him. He dressed crazy. He acted crazy. He looked crazy. I never got him.
Yeah, I like him. He just went the Goody Mob. I mean, he's definitely a talent. I give him that. You know, some of the songs I like. It's just unfortunate, man. Cats, again, need to go to Twitter school. Because you can't just be running off at the mouth, man. People's watching. They will take that and blast it all over. And yeah, you got the right to say anything you want, but as you can see, big business in the marketplace will have the right to ban your ass, and that's what's going on. So hopefully, maybe somehow I can turn it around, you know, go on that apology tour. He'd probably be on The View and all the other places. Well, I want to apologize.
See, and you know what? I hate that. I'm going to say this, and maybe I'm not thinking clearly, but...
You think?
No, you know, Donald Sterling, Paula Dean. The dude from The Morning Show, Imus.
No, Don Imus. Did he apologize? I don't remember.
Yeah, he went on. He went on air.
Oh, okay.
Even on TV. And the dude from Seinfeld. I mean, listen. I may not condone what you say, but have the conviction to stand behind what you believe. Unless you just are saying you're a whore and you don't want to lose your money. You know, this apology thing, if you don't mean it, why are you apologizing? You're apologizing for getting caught. Would you agree?
No, I totally agree, but their whole livelihood is banked on it. They have to apologize, man.
You know, the only apology that I've heard, there have been two apologies that I've heard that I thought were genuine. That was Jason Alexander, the guy who played George Costanza on Seinfeld, and more recently, Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Other than that, it just seemed like they knew they were beaten and caught. So let's apologize.
Hey, let's play a little something real quick. I just want
to... Shut up! 50 years ago, you had your own tied down with a fucking fork up your ass! You can talk your brain now, motherfucker! Roll his ass out! He's a nigger! He's a nigger! He's a nigger!
Oh, my God.
A nigger! Look, there's a nigger!
Just off of that, you probably want to apologize. Like that, even the white folks ain't gonna hire you. But let me finish.
Ooh. Ooh. All right, you see, it shocks you to see what's buried beneath your stupid motherfuckers. What was it called for? It's not called for you to hear on my ass, you cheap motherfucker. You guys have been talking and talking and talking. I don't know.
This guy's going nuts.
What's the matter? Is it too much for you to handle?
Is that coming? They're going to arrest me for calling a black man a nigga.
I don't want to see it.
Hey, you don't beat the fuck up anytime.
Wait a minute. Where's he going?
I'm calling for him. Hey,
oh, it's a big threat. That's how you get what back at the man.
That was real called for.
Wait a minute. He's not going, is he?
You're not funny. That's why you reject. Never had no show. Never had no movie. Seinfeld, that's it.
Oh, I guess you got me there. You're absolutely right. I'm just a wash up. Got to stand on the stage. Oh, absolutely. That's it. We had it. And that is it.
Hold on. Ain't necessary.
Well, you interrupted me, pal. That's what happens when you interrupt the white man. He's
gonna jump you down. Damn, Mike, you gonna let that ride, ain't you?
That's what happens when you interrupt a white man. So he was a fool up there. I don't know. He was.
What was, you know, what was funny about that to me was the dude said, he said, "Yeah, you're not funny. You ain't had no TV shows, no movies." You did Seinfeld, and that's it.
That's it. You're a rat.
And he's absolutely right. The show, the most recent show he was on was canceled. Just, I guess, the last month.
Wow. Yeah, that was great.
But you know what's funny? I'm trying to think how I would. Well, I wouldn't be talking during a guy's act, first of all. But I'm trying to put myself in a position to see how I would react. And as I'm sitting here now. I can say this not going through it, but I would probably just laugh in his face and talk louder. You know, I don't think I would have gotten all emotional like that guy did.
I don't know. I don't know. I would kind of want to do what you're saying, but I know, again, you know, we're men and all those people around and people get to laughing and you feeling you might be there with your woman or something, disrespect, and then the racial stuff. And I don't know, somebody just going in on you on stage, calling you the N-word. That's just so extreme. Like, I might laugh at first, like, I can't believe this. But then it would be like, yo, hold up now. Slow down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's because I'll tell you this. When I was living in Atlanta, I went to a black comedy club, and the girl I was with, she insisted we sit up front. And one comedian, he made at some point, he kind of got booed because he was just clowning. He didn't have no jokes. He was just clowning everybody at the edge of the stage. Mm. So he got me, and my girl laughed. I mean, I was cool with it. I want to tell you what he clowned me about, but I'm not going to put that out there. But I will say, I had the last laugh because what he clowned me about was something that she had done. Mm. But yeah, so yeah, you're right. After a while, you're like, okay, well, now wait, hold on, this is going on long enough.
Ain't gonna be too many niggas now. I'm gonna show you the nigga. Especially if, yeah, you know what? Especially if I was with my girlfriend or something. Yeah, I don't know, man. I probably wouldn't let that ride either. Especially if he's, and you and that black bitch you went, you know, the black nigga you that nigga bitch. It would have.
Yes, you know. I was gonna say that for the end of the show, which we call. But yeah, you can talk about me, and I can choose to do what I can choose to be the bigger man, or I can get gutter with it. But if you talk about my family, that's when the knife comes out.
You wouldn't be sitting there laughing then, huh?
No.
You were like, whoa, she probably would have jumped on. Hold up, motherfucker.
Well, see, first of all, you're kind of losing if you're taking your woman to see Michael Richards.
Well, I mean, you know, it could have been some other show. Like, he could have been just one of the featured people, too, right? I don't know. It could have been a whole other thing, right? Maybe.
But it depends on the comic, too. Like, you know, I'm going to say D.L. Hughley. I know he hasn't done stand-up in a while, but I've seen a lot of black comics. They will clown you in front of your woman, but they do it in a way.
Yeah, I mean, and let me be clear. I don't care if it was a black comic, white comic, whatever. Anybody's coming with that nigger, and you, that's right, nigger, and your black bitch, and I don't give a fuck who that is. Like, they better have security in the first world of that motherfucker. We're going to have problems. I'd be like, this is uncalled for. It ain't funny. It's just not funny, really. I'd be laughing just to save that embarrassment. Like, and be like, all right. I mean, cats be getting blasted for less in the club. So imagine the dude up, you know, embarrassing you like that. I mean, he's ready to start shooting. I don't condone any of that. I'm just saying. I'm joking. Go ahead.
I forget what that happened. Was that Caroline's Comedy Club in the clip you had?
That's the Laugh Factory, which I think is in L.A., right?
Okay. Well, I was in Caroline's in Manhattan, and this was a while ago. And Richard Lewis, I don't know if you know who he is. He was on stage, and I don't think he has started Curb Your Enthusiasm yet, because he's funny on that show. And I've laughed at his stuff in the past, but he was horrible. And people were openly just talking. And he was so bad. He had his jokes on a piece of paper, and he was just reading them off of the paper. And none of them were funny. And eventually he's known for being in recovery all the time, perpetually in recovery from alcoholism and drug abuse. But he eventually just walked off. He said, you know what? I can't take any of this shit anymore. And walked off the stage. Hmm. Now, that's what you, if you can't take the heckling, that's what you're supposed to do as a comic, you know, or at least fight back and give us a show. But you don't go to that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and there's that one video too of Cat Williams, where he's going in on that Mexican dude. He's like, oh, I'm an American and fuck that. Something Mexican flag, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he had caught some heat off of that. And he's, yeah, I mean, that dude sit there and took it. I mean, the dude was kind of going back at him a little bit. But, man, you could have went real bad for him. But, yeah, that stuff is, you know, life of a comic, man. You got to be on your game. If you can't handle it, then just bow out. Take your L. Go get paid anyway. And come back another day, right? One last story.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. Do you have or have you heard the Robin Harris's last comedy album?
I used to have it.
There's a part in there. And, you know, they said,
I was going at him. Yeah.
What happened?
The guy from Compton. Said, I'm from Compton.
Yeah, okay. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's a classic.
He was like, he was talking about the Bloods and Crips. He was doing a bit about the security guard there. He had no gun with a flashlight. Talking about, get out of there, y'all Crips. Get up. And then someone in the crowd says, oh, dude, there's some blood, Crips, whatever. One of them was in there. We from Compton, Maine. We represent Compton, Maine. And he was like, so?
Yeah, that's his act. I mean, he can get away with that shit. He's a comedic genius.
But you never heard from him after that album.
He died after that.
I know, but how did he really die?
Oh, here you go. The Crips did it, right? All right. One last story. Change it up one more time. All right. So we've talked about this before. Now it's official. The Rock is going to be playing Black Adam in the Shazam movie, right?
You need to say this for Aunt Pooh.
I know. But we'll talk. We can talk about it. But yeah, so we won't talk about that part. So yeah, he's going to be that. But one of the things that has come out, so this movie is going to be produced by New Line Cinema.
Okay.
And they're a subsidiary of Warner Brothers. So, the Batman movie and, the Batman trilogy movie and the Man of Steel, they were done by Legendary, which, you know, yes. I don't know if it's
Legendary
owned.
Syncope?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're owned by Warners, but obviously they produced those movies for them. But the thing is, the New Line president is Toby Emmerich, excuse me. And on a recent interview he did with Entertainment Weekly, he says the following. He says, it feels to me like Shazam will have a tone unto itself. Excuse me. It's a DC comic, but it's not a Justice League character. And it's not a Marvel comic. The tone and feeling of the movie will be different from the other range comic book movies. It will have a sense of fun and a sense of humor.
Oh, gosh.
But the stakes have to be real. Now, one thing that jumps out to me about that is he saying that this was not going to be tied to the Justice League movie that Zack Snyder is doing after Batman vs. Superman and is not in that universe, which would be odd to me because obviously Captain Marvel Shazam is in the Justice League in the current.
Is he really?
Of course. He's
52. I'm sorry. I'm complete ignorance. I don't read. I stopped reading Justice League and Shazam. So okay. He wasn't in the original, you know, what I know is the Justice League.
Right. Yeah. The new, you know, a couple years ago, and he's in all the animated movies that have been put out. He is prominently featured as a character. Interesting to me that he says that. Well, go ahead.
Can I just ask you a quick question? That's related. It seems, why would you put Shazam on the Justice League? Because you already have Superman. It's like you got two of the same character.
I don't know. One is magic base, I guess you could argue, and one is an alien. And of course, one is a little.
They both have super strength.
Well, right, but the dynamic is he's a boy, right? So he's,
yeah.
So that is totally different. And they Black Adam wear, is different. Sorry?
They both wear costumes with capes.
There's a lot of DC characters you could probably argue this about.
I know, but.
He is in the Justice League, so.
Okay.
he is in that. But maybe he won't be in this movie, though.
What's with that hood that he now has?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I don't know. What's the point of it?
So I have no idea.
I was going to make a Skittles joke, but I will not.
Wow.
I won't.
Terrible. But what was sort of mandated, we heard there was a mandate by DC Entertainment that the upcoming movies would have no jokes. And now here you see this gentleman saying, actually, yes, it is going to be a fun movie. It's going to have a sense of humor. So that's another interesting sort of contradiction to the tone of the other DC movies.
Now, when he says sense of humor, does he mean it's going to be a comedy, or is he talking about like Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark sense of humor?
It's a good question. I mean, he definitely says a sense of fun and a sense of humor. But then he says the stakes have to be real. Hopefully they're not trying to do Green Lantern style or something.
Anybody that would try to emulate that is certifiably insane.
So yeah, Shazam, and that's coming out same year as Batman vs Superman. It comes out 2016, next year.
Oh, by the way, I was listening to a podcast that you guys did. It was while I was gone, so it could have been like over a week ago. But you brought up again the issue of who would play Billy Batson, and I think I got the kid.
All right,
the kid, the kid from if you watch the show Extant.
He seems kind of young though, but I don't know. You're talking about the robot kid.
Yeah. He's done Looper, and he got rave reviews from, well, I'm saying rave reviews. Everyone that I hear talking about child actors said he did a great job as a child actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great actor. I'm not going to say that. He just seems so serious. I've only seen him in very, like, seem serious kind of roles. I haven't seen him, like, I think of Extend as kind of very serious. But, yeah, I could see that. I think the bigger question is, who do you get to play Shazam, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm sure, actually, you know who they might want to look at? It's the guy that I said should have been Superman. The guy who was going to be Superman, except for he was tied up with True Blood, and that's Joe Manganiello, I think his name is, from True Blood, played the werewolf.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Isn't he in something else?
I know he's in Sofia Vergara. That's
I think there's a guy. The guy that plays in Arrow is from True Blood, isn't he? He plays Deathstroke or whatever his name is.
You know what? I stopped watching that show after the second season, and I just started it. I started again, but I'm all the way back to the first season, so I don't think I'm there yet to know who.
Second season's good, really good.
Oh yeah, it was good. The thing was, Hulu didn't have all of the episodes.
Ah, gotcha. I think it's about to come on. If it's not already, is it on Netflix now, I think?
Only the first season.
Well, no, the second season about to come on then. Yeah, maybe in another week or so.
Well, you know, I signed up to the Michael Dean School of Acquisition.
Hilarious.
So, and you know, for this trip to Paris in London, because it's a 6-hour flight, I used up all of my acquisition tools.
Oh, man, really? Well, there's nothing illegal about this. It's called easynews.com. I've been using this site over 10 years. It's a paid service. But, yeah. Okay. So you've been liking that, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. I downloaded Captain America 2.
Yeah, it's out there.
The Winter Soldier. I tried to get Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was a bootleg. Really? I mean, people really sell those things, Mike.
I have no idea. I don't.
I mean, this joint, it was obviously videotaped. How did he get in the theater?
Could be a phone nowadays.
You can see people walking by. I'm like, really?
Yeah, I hear you. I don't even bother with those. I can't watch that. Yeah. What was I gonna say? Oh, the other thing, real quick too. Netflix has announced that they have already acquired the rights to Gotham, the TV show.
Mistake
to show on there. I think they're paying like 1.2 or some odd million per episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So.
There's an executive that's going to be walking around with a sign, "We'll work for food." Really?
Well,
I mean,
go ahead.
I like Jada Pinkett Smith. I think she's sexy, attractive. She's a good actress. She's a little intense most of the time. But this just does not look like a good look for her.
I keep seeing the commercials, and the more I see of them, I'm like, oof, this looks like it's going to be bad. I'm going to watch the first episode, peep it out. But, man, I don't have high hopes for it either. I don't know. I'm put off by the whole premise of it, first off. And I don't know. It just looks stupid.
Yeah. I got a new verb for that. That's going to be caped.
You know, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's going to be caped. Because I was all excited for that show. I think I got in two episodes and they started showing the circus people. I was like, okay.
Yeah. You know, I would say it is a smart move for was it Fox who puts it out, because obviously they just getting paid. It doesn't even have to do well at the ratings at this point. They're going to shoot the whole thing. Because they're going to get their money for it regardless, right? And for Netflix, again, it just goes to, for some people, they will like that show. Even if it's not enough to warrant having it on network TV, it'd be enough to have people want to sign up for Netflix to watch it. And for them, that's all they care for, right? They don't care if the ratings are bad.
I don't know how you arrived at that. Why?
Well, sure. They have, most of the shows that they have are shows that did not make it on network TV.
But there were shows that were canceled and then put on Netflix. This is the case where,
right,
you know, your show is getting bad buzz. It hasn't aired yet. You don't know what the ratings are. And you're putting 1.2 million per episode
for Netflix, that's probably not a lot of money. I'm just saying, probably for them, though, in the long term, they know that their service is built off the backs. A lot of it is putting these old TV shows on there that people can watch, even if they didn't, you know, a lot of them did get canceled off, as you said. Some of them got canceled. They even rejuvenated them and did more seasons of the shows. So for them, it makes sense because they don't have to worry about the ratings. It has nothing to do with what they do. So it could fail on TV. But it'll be enough of a success for them, though, because there will be people. And again, this is a comic book property. So there's an audience for that. So for them to put it on their thing is probably like, well, shit, we'll make money on this. It'll work for us.
I don't see how.
Well, like I said, it doesn't matter if it fails on TV or not. They probably would want it to fail.
Why would people subscribe to see it?
Well, here's the thing. I'm just guessing here. A super sneaky alternative move for them is maybe they hope it does fail and they don't show all of them on TV so that they could have the exclusive to you can watch the whole thing of Gotham on here. Again, for the people who would still watch, there is enough people that will watch that show where it could be a success. But for TV, probably, they have to have a certain amount of people, right? But that number is probably so low for Netflix. So it doesn't matter if it got canceled, because we'll take on all those canceled shows, and that's why we're popular. So they don't. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if they hope it doesn't get picked up, and it gets canceled midway through, because they're going to shoot the whole thing anyway, because they're giving them money for it. This is an easy way for them to get a series where they ain't got to spend a whole bunch of money.
Well, I don't know.
I could see a lot of TV shows going this route, and for a TV network, hey, we get an extra. I don't know how many episodes they're doing. What's the episode run usually nowadays? 13?
Well, nowadays, I don't know. It used to be 22 to 26.
20. Let's say it's 13 to 14. They're getting an additional $14 million, $15 million, plus the advertisers they already were getting. So they're making money. So they don't probably, they're like, fuck yeah, sell them all to Netflix if they want to give us $1 million. But why not? If the shit don't work, we drop it. We got paid. Doesn't matter to us.
Well, I understand why Fox benefits, but what I'm saying is Netflix is doing a damn good job of producing their own original content. They're about to have a no-brains winner with this Marvel properties.
Right, and now they got DC, and they didn't have to put all the money to make it. It's chump change to make a series for $14 million. I'm just saying, if you look at it that way, right, which they could never do that with a DC property. They would have to do a deal, and they have to do this whole production. This way, they're like, fuck it, give them $14 million, and we can have all their shit on our network, too.
Yeah, but you have a show that's unproven. I don't know why you make that risk.
But it's not a risk to them. Again, most of the shows that they have didn't make it on TV, and they're successful based off of that. So why not take one that has a lot of hype? Let them hype it up. It's DC.
I have an answer. You took those failed shows back when this was kind of a new thing for you, but you blew up and you started creating your own stuff. You don't have to go back to that.
Still taking up, but they are. That's the thing. They're taking failed shows and creating new. Well, they did The Killing, right? They're taking shows that didn't have very small audiences, but there's enough of an audience for them to want to say, you know what? It's going to get us more people to subscribe. Go ahead and make another season of that show, even though it's been off the air for 2 years. So I'm just saying, for them, they're not playing it by those same numbers. They're going to get residual money coming in based off people signing up. And continues, even 2 years down the road, let's say the Superman movie is very popular, or a Batman movie is popular 2 years ago, people are going to go, I want to see more Batman stuff. And oh, we already got it. And we already paid for that. It don't cost us no extra money to put it up there. Cool. Make more money. It's residual at that point.
I suppose. Okay.
All right. We got to wrap
show
it up.
The show might be good. I doubt it, but the show might be good.
It could. I hope it is. Like I said,
I'm not hoping it is.
Yeah, I hope it is, but I don't know. It doesn't look that well. All right, let's wrap this up. We've been on here. So before we go, couple things. Yeah. One, please come to the website. We are asking everyone to sign up for Podcast Juice All Access. What is that? Well, it is our premium service, and it gives you access to all of our shows from the past. It also is a great way to help the site keep this thing rolling. This is my job. You, the listener, are my boss from now on. So I am here to perform for you. And I can only do that if you help chip in.
You're providing a service, right, Mike? You're getting paid.
I am providing a service, but I'm also doing this. I wasn't getting paid either, so let's be clear. And I wouldn't be doing this show. Let's say we was in the heart of Chicago, South Side, and crackhead dudes living next door, and the drug man's in another apartment, and I'm doing the service. Nigga, I'm moving. I'll do the show over here. Okay.
I love I can get you going, man. I love it.
All right. So anyway, asking you all to please go on the site, sign up. It's just $5 a month. That is nothing. That's like what? One espresso drink per month. If you can't afford $5 a month, you might have some other issues going on in your life that hopefully I can help you out with.
You know this dude, he's from the land from Starbucks. He's talking about espresso drinks.
Right. So you're doing two of those a day. So anyway, please sign up. Help us work it like a job. We're going to work it like a job regardless, but we do need the help, and we all family. So I ask for that. Secondly, if you have the time, go on to, I know we got a lot of people that listen to the show on iTunes. Go on to our iTunes section there, the Podcast Juice, and leave us a review. Hopefully a 5-star review. But the more reviews that we get actually helps our ranking in iTunes. And we're trying to get the coveted featured. You know, they have the featured podcast on the podcast main page. So the more reviews we get, the more chances we get featured and more people get to hear about the show. Thirdly, I'll be almost done here. If you are a Stitcher Radio listener and you use the app on your tablet or your phone, go on to Stitcher. And the same thing, leave us a review on Stitcher. It helps, again, get the show out there to more people. And if we start seeing some reviews, we'll definitely start reading those on the air. All right. Now, where can you find Mr. Q-Storm?
You can find me at QStorm.com. You can read my blog, qstorm.com/lightningstrikes. And for the next couple weeks, I am going to be putting together my magnum opus, my trip to Europe. I'm going to treat that as though I was hired. I'm going to work like a job. I'm going to treat it like I was hired to produce a mini documentary about someone traveling overseas. I'm going to get my Photoshop guys involved. I'm going to get my After Effects guys involved. I'm going to work it. And I'm going to put it up on Q's Reviews, which you can find under, if you search under The Real, R-E-E-L, Q-Storm, or M-R-Q-S-T-O-R-M, 3476, Mr. Q-Storm, 3476.
All right. And you can check me out here at podcastjuice.net. Also, find me on Twitter. It's M. Dean. And you can like the Podcast Juice page on Facebook. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had fun. We will see you next time.